Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Yeah. Okay, you can even smile with your seatmate. It's for free, right? Good morning. I am Pastor Hazel Bates, your clergy liturgist, together with Vince and Stephanie. We are your worship leaders for this morning. Pastor John will continue speaking on series about God's creation. And a connection card in your bulletin is our way to get connected to you. You can check some of the ministry opportunities there, and you can sign them up. And a prayer card is also available, so we can pray for you. And you can place both the connection card and prayer card in the offering plate later. And if we have kids here, you are invited to join the Sunday school. You can go now. For our announcements, book study, a book study group is about to start. And the book calls entitled Falling Upward. And you are invited for this every Friday, 9 to 9:30. Oh, I got it wrong. Information here. It says here PM. It says there AM. Part of growing up. And it will begin on May 1st up to 22nd here at Brighton Campus. So the book offers practical guidance that you can use to live a life of love and meaning in a world of suffering and challenge. So this study is to be led by Pastor John and Barbara. And another announcement, the fish and loaves will happen later today at 5 to 6:30 in the afternoon here at Brighton Campus. And they are need of volunteers. Just come as early as 3:30 in the afternoon, so that you will be part of setting up the tables, setting up coffee station, and prepare the food as well. So you can even donate desserts, rolls, and salads. And the other dates for this will be on June 28 and August 23rd. And last is the blessings, or the blessing of the animals, later today at 1 in the afternoon or 1 p.m. As we continue to give value to God's creation and other creatures, you are invited to bring your beloved pets for a short outdoor worship service at the Whitmore Lake. And rest assured, each animal will receive a blessing. Please stand up as we sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Thank you. Good morning. I invite you to join me in the opening prayer. Lord of sea and sky, and all creatures that live on this earth, we thank and praise you for creation. Bless the scientists as they search for ways to protect the earth so that life may continue to thrive. We pray also that our own words and actions will reflect the reverence we have for the beauty of this earth. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Phenomenal performance by our bells this morning. We have two scripture readings for the price of one for y'all today. The first one comes to us from Genesis 1, verses 20 through 25. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Our second is from Genesis 2, verses 18 through 20. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Who wants to just listen to Vince read the rest of the book of Genesis? Anybody with me? Amen. Thank you so much, Vince, for reading us the scripture this morning. I could have listened to you read the first 10 chapters of Genesis, and we could have just kept right on going. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who created all of the creatures of the sea and the sky and the land. Amen. Growing up, one of the greatest joys that we had as a family, and you've probably heard me say this before, but it was the opportunity to travel all across the United States to be able to see beautiful parts of this country in particular. Most of our traveling took place here in the United States. Sometimes we were up in Canada. On rare occasions, our family went down to, you know, the southern coast of the United States, and we're on the border between U.S. and Mexico on a couple of occasions. But really, most of our travel was to national parks, to state parks, to all of this land that this country had this beautiful vision of setting aside for public use so that people could go places and see things. And I'll never forget moments in our life growing up, like when we were in Custer State Park. If you haven't been there, there's this massive bison herd that's free roaming. And I remember we would travel in this 1968 Starcraft camper, which was not soft-sided, but it wasn't necessarily the new sort of RV-style campers that people take across the country these days. And so what I remember is we were kind of vulnerable because the sides were soft. And at Custer State Park, I'll never forget one morning, my brother woke up to use the bathroom, as you oftentimes do in the middle of the night while camping, and he opens up the door of the StarCraft camper, and sure enough, outside of the camper is the entire bison herd just grazing and eating, and it sounded like there was a cement mixture, and all I remember that night is my brother going, "Dad?" Fearful of these massive animals. If you've ever been next to a bison, their eyeball is essentially at your eyeball level. As you're sitting in a driver's seat or a passenger seat of a vehicle, you look out and there's this massive eye that looks like it's the size of a softball staring at you through the window of your car. Maybe you've been in other places where you've seen the creativity and majesty of God on full display with animals. If you've ever been out whale watching, there's something so majestic about a whale coming up for oxygen and then blowing all of that stuff out of its blowhole up into the sky. Maybe you've seen grizzly bears fishing for salmon as they jump the river, as they swim upstream to nest. Perhaps you've seen grizzly bear do other things. I remember we were at Rocky Mountain National Park one morning, and it was my job to take the trash from the campsite back to the massive dumpster after breakfast. And I remember walking over to the dumpster, and there was one of these massive three-piece dumpsters that had been completely tipped over, and 10 or 15 park rangers were quickly throwing all of the dumpster trash back into the garbage. And I walked up and I was like, what in the world happened here? And the park rangers just shook their heads and they said the grizzly bear was angry. These creatures are amazing. From the large to the small, if you've ever watched an ant war take place on the ground, it can be mesmerizing to watch them feast over a grasshopper. Perhaps you've watched swarms of insects crawling out all over some space, and you're just sort of overwhelmed by the presence of bugs. I have to admit, I'm not as spiritually moved by insects as I am by some of the larger animals, but I trust that in the food chain, they all matter. What a gift. I'm grateful for birds. There was a Sunday that I got done preaching here at Brighton, and with the kids, we pulled into the driveway at the parsonage, and some migratory bird, I'm sorry, Audubon members, I'm not as well-versed in all the bird species as I should be, but there was this bird, flock of birds that was up in the trees right above the parsonage, and we opened up the doors, and it was deafening as they were calling to one another. There must have been some lively comedy show taking place up in the trees because they were just making all of these bird sounds, and it was deafening. It was beautiful. It was inspiring. I imagine over the course of your life, some animal has spoken to you. Perhaps it was a pet. Maybe it was a piece of creation. I hope over the course of your life, you've been able to look at an animal and just be inspired by its beauty or its inherent worth that's it's intrinsic to that animal all by itself. It's not reliant upon your eyes to witness it. It's just a beautiful act of God's creativity and grace and beauty and splendor. It's amazing to be a part of this earth. And I wrestle a little bit with the fact that scientists estimate that nearly every day, somewhere between 10 and 15 animals go extinct. I don't know about you, but I grieve that. Some of those animals have never been documented. Many of them are microorganisms. Most of them are small bacteria, and they come into and out of existence, and we don't notice them, and we don't categorize them, and we don't put them on any sort of dichotomous key genus and species. We don't have the opportunity to get all the information about all of these creatures. But in addition to these animals that are going into and out of existence so swiftly, we've also documented birds and mammals and reptiles that have gone out of existence as well. All of creation throughout history has gone through multiple seasons of extinction, and scientists today suggest that we're living in the sixth mass extinction event in the world's history. It's not the first, and perhaps it won't be the last, but I grieve hearing stories about animals that used to populate the earth so plentifully and now are difficult to see. If you've heard stories about the black rhino, you know that there are only a handful of them left. There aren't so many that you can see them plentifully in creation. Perhaps you remember the stories about the bald eagles where their shells had become so thin because of the extensive use of DDT in this country that they were hard to spot, they were hard to sight, they were on the verge of extinction, the national bird of the United States, and yet they've made this incredible comeback. I grieve the habitat loss, and I grieve the reality that so often we're like, oh, let's put together a small city park here. Perhaps there'll be enough space for a couple of squirrels to make their home in the midst of this land, or perhaps we can celebrate a couple of birds, but wetlands, they estimate, have shrunk in size by close to 85% in the last 30 years. Nearly 50% of all habitable land has been transitioned from natural habitat to now supporting some form of agricultural development. So nearly half of the land in the world is used to create food mostly for us to eat. Nearly 75% of the natural world has been carved up in some way, shape, or form or another, making it impossible for large roaming animals to call that space their home. And in the midst of this mass extinction event, my heart grieves because I've traveled all across the United States and I struggle to imagine where is the wildlife these days. Many of the bears have collars, multiple sharks have their fins tagged with some sort of, you know, a radio frequency tag that allows people all around the world to know exactly where the sharks are in the ocean. And I wonder, where is the frontier land? Where is the space where the buffalo roam? Admittedly, it was amazing to go to Custer State Park and see these bison right next to our camper, but I was like, they used to have the entire western part of the United States, and I grieve the fact that there are no longer places where animals migrate. My sister and my dad and my grandfather had an opportunity to go see the Great Migration. Has anybody seen that in Africa? This 800-kilometer pathway that multiple countries in Africa have banded together to make sure that these animals still have a safe passage to be able to take this 800-kilometer path that they do every single year. And there are antelope, and there are lions, and cheetahs, and elephants, and all of the big animals in Africa participate in this great migration. I'm inspired by the fact that multiple countries had to work together and set aside land so that this migration could continue to happen into the future. Each and every year, however, that corridor that those animals have gets a little bit thinner, a little bit harder to transgress, more of the natural habitat gets infringed upon as buildings get constructed, and they estimate that within the next 10 years, the Great Migration, the story of African, you know, animals moving from one place to another, from one water source to another, will come to an end. There will be no more Great Migration in Africa. I hope that if you are interested in seeing those animals, that you'll take an opportunity to see them in the next 10 years because you don't know how much longer this migration will take place. Creation is groaning. Animals all over the place are under threat. And as a United Methodist, I'm really proud. We have worked over the decades to develop this book. I encourage you to take a moment to read it. As Pastor Lindsay, I've heard, usually I'm not in the sanctuary when she's preaching, which is always kind of weird. Like, I don't get to hear Pastor Lindsay's sermons all the time, but when I do listen to them, every once in a while, I know Pastor Lindsay assigns homework. Anybody been in the sanctuary when Pastor Lindsay's like, read this book? So I'm following in Pastor Lindsay's footsteps, and I'm encouraging you to take a moment to read our social principles. In them, there's this plea, this sort of yearning that United Methodists would do everything that they can to care for God's creation. Over the last couple of weeks of this sermon series, we've been pushing it because we believe, as Vince was reading it, and like I said, we could have just listened to you, Vince, for like 10 minutes up here just reading the book of Genesis, but God created this beautiful creation, the earth, and set it upon its foundation, created all of the heavens, all of the stars, all of the universes and galaxies that may be out there, things that we don't even understand yet, and he created this earth and put all of these animals on it as a gift to us. Said, name these things, order these things, support these things, help sustain these things, give them an opportunity to thrive and flourish. My grief is that I don't know if these animals are flourishing anymore. It seems like they're under duress. In addition to these wild animals, I think God also gave us our pets. Anybody a pet owner here? A couple of us, I imagine so. So I'll never forget, several times in my ministry, there have been children who have come up during small talk or like, you know, the time that kids would come forward and ask questions of the pastor. And it's like these cute, incredibly brilliant moments. But one time I was doing a children's moment in front of the whole church. We were talking about animals, and one of the kids raised their hand and said, "Pastor John, my dog just went to sleep." The whole congregation made that exact sound that you just made. We're like, oh my gosh, this just turned into an incredibly deep and important and significant pastoral moment. And then the kid, like through tears, continued on to say, Pastor John, do you think my dog is in heaven? Of course. Part of God's creation was to create all of these animals, all of these creatures, these plants. And I hope for all of you gardeners out there that heaven is filled with beautiful, green, lush things. But I also hope with all of my heart that someday when I cross over the rainbow bridge with the rest of us, that we'll be able to see, you know, my dog Sam, my best buddy, my companion who is there for me in every difficult moment that I've had in my life. My dog Sam would be waiting at the door, ready for me to come home with the tail wagging and always with an orange ball in his mouth. Take me outside. Throw this ball to me, not once, but I'm going to have rotator cuff surgery, I swear to you, someday because of that dog. Totally blew out my shoulder, throwing hundreds of times back and forth with this wonderful dog, Sam. I'm sure many of you at moments have been taught lessons about life from your pets. Fierce loyalty, companionship, deep love. I've heard incredible stories and witnessed dogs that have sensed cancer inside people long before the tests or the scientific community have been able to verify things. I'll never forget that dog Sam that was incredibly, you know, attached with me at the hip. Both times when Lindsay was expecting, when Lindsay was pregnant, Sam left me and followed Lindsay around. I was like, buddy, what's going on, man? Sure enough, after she gave birth, Sam and I became friends again. But for a while, he was guarding her. There have been stories about dolphins who have protected swimmers from shark attacks. There are stories about orcas that have rescued people from the sea and delivered them from land. There are so many great examples of creation supporting and uplifting the gift of life. There's this great passage, actually, in the Bible that encourages people, instead of taking on sloth, to actually watch ants as they work diligently. You almost never seeing an ant, you know, on the ground, just sort of like folding its arms together like, I'm just going to sit this one out. You guys do your thing. Good luck out there. If you've ever watched a beehive as they're just animated, flying around in and out, constantly working and toiling, creation is something to teach us. In addition to taking a look at the social principles, I hope you'll take a moment sometime this week to go outside. It's supposed to be nice. It's not supposed to be too hot or too cold, but just notice an animal out there and watch it. Allow yourself to uncheck all of the boxes of things that you need to do. Don't get caught up in the long list of things, and just allow yourself to observe some animal. If it's an insect or bird or some mammal, or if you watch the chipmunks working in the forest floor, whatever the case may be, I encourage you to go out and observe nature for the beauty that it has intrinsic unto itself. It's a gift to all of us. As we wrap up this sermon series, I want to close with just this plea. Over the course of our three-week sermon series, I've been really grateful that there's a group of folks here at the church who have just been thinking about all of creation, the community of care of all of creation, this calling that we all have on our lives, to think about our lives, to examine our lives and think to ourselves, is there anything that we could be doing to improve the world around us? Over this last weekend, a couple of the guys who went up on the men's retreat got to participate in planting 2,500 trees up at Lake Louise in northern Michigan. Last week, there were probably about 20 people from both the Brighton and the Whitmore Lake campus who rolled up our sleeves and pulled all kinds of garbage out from places all around both of our campuses in a trail that connects the two of our campuses as well. We found ski boots. We found plastic trash, cups from McDonald's, over and over again, just bending down and picking up cigarette butts and everything else that you can imagine. the first week of this sermon series, we heard Reverend Faith Fowler, who, again, I could listen to every Sunday. I'm just like, Faith, please come back and keep preaching to us about all the amazing things that you're doing to make the world a better place. But one of the things she talked about was solar panels. And here's where I'm going to start meddling. I'm just letting you know. I continue to have a dream that someday the south-facing wall or roof of the community room, I dream of a day that maybe we could put just a couple of solar panels up there. I don't know if you know this, and I'm afraid to admit this because it's been shocking to everyone that I've told, but this church, this campus, just the Brighton campus alone, every year spends $42,000 a year in utilities, electricity, and gas. It costs $42,000 a year to heat this building and cool this building and light up this building. And I want you to know that our youth ministry and our children's ministry and the budget that we have for worship and our young adult ministry and almost all of the program ministries of our church, every single one of them, if you add them up, they do not total $42,000 a year, which means we spend more on light and money that we write to Consumers Energy and Comcast to have internet and, you know, our electricity bill with DTE. God bless all those companies for giving us heat and air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. I'm grateful. But my heart also breaks about that because I wonder, what if we could transfer that money that we spend on those things and invest in a renewable source of energy from the sun and allow ourselves to redirect those monies into programs instead of heat and electricity? I don't know. Maybe we could do what Cass did and save $1,000 a month on electricity. And I know solar panels are controversial and not everybody's on board with that, but I keep coming back to, like, what if our youth ministry had $12,000 more a year? What would we do with that? And I see a couple of our students like, yeah, that sounds good, more pizza. I love this one story about our youth ministry. A couple of weeks ago, Lindsay and I both had ministry commitments at the same time. So for a moment, at the beginning of youth group, I shouldn't tell this story about my kids, but I can't help it. I'm already into it now. And so Joshua and Lydia, they had to go to youth ministry for just a minute. And they make club sodas over there at the well. If you don't know this, they have this whole setup where there's syrups, and I don't even know the mix to make club sodas, but Joshua was making a club soda when I picked him up, and he walks out of the well, and he goes, Dad, I don't know why I ever doubted that the church was a great place to go. And I was like, it's club sodas. That's it. Spoke to him. I dream, I don't know about you, but I dream of redirecting some of this money that we give to our utility companies into ministries, into continuing to invest in the programs of our church. I think the same is true for every aspect of creation. If there's some way that you can reduce the amount of plastic that you consume so it doesn't end up in a landfill, and it offers some way to make this world a little greener, a little healthier for animals to live. Last week when we were pulling trash out of the wetlands along the trail that our group was working on, soon after, Annie found a small turtle. And she lifted it up, showed it to Joshua and Lydia, who were picking up trash alongside us. She lifted up this turtle, and I asked my kids, I was like, what do you think it's like to live with plastic and garbage all around? Imagine what it would be like if you were born into this world, this tiny little turtle, and you had to swim through garbage all over the place. And Lydia, who's our emotional empath, like, tears start coming down her eyes, and she's like, I would hate that. My challenge to you is this, is to think about how you're called to care for this gift of creation, how you're called to be inspired by the gift of all of these animals that God created and put into our care and trusted us to stewarding this gift, to asking yourself, is there anything that you can do to make sure that this very good creation continues to be good for generations to come? Is there some way that you can use less? Is there some way that you can offer more? In that short period of time of walking around those places, we filled somewhere around like 15 garbage bags worth of stuff in roughly an hour and a half with 20 volunteers. I don't know about you, but I think we can do better. And I dream that grandkids of our generation and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids someday will be able to go out and watch the buffalo as they move through Custer State Park. I dream that in 100 years, there continue to be rhinoceroses and elephants. I hope that there are still octopuses in the ocean. I found it funny that Vince talked about massive sea creatures, and just this last week they discovered a 60-foot octopus that used to live in the ocean before it went extinct. My goodness, creation points to the glory of God. Thanks be to God for all of these creatures who teach us about what it means to have faith in the creativity of God. Amen.
For the glory. point out the prayer quilts hung over there. When you leave the sanctuary, they'll be on the table in the narthex. Please tie a knot and say a prayer and sign the cards. Now, if you'll join me in an attitude of prayer. God of us all, thank you for entrusting to our care so many animals, pets, trees, and plants, knowing that your bright light and our ingenuity can make good with your creations. As spring continues to blossom around us, may we continue to use our resources to better your kingdom, working towards a world where everyone has a voice and no one person goes hungry. While striving to make this place your heaven on earth, may we also take extra time today to smell another dandelion and roll down a hill with our children, or spend time in the sun with a loved one, young or wise in years. Please forgive us when we forget to come to you when we are in need, when our brokenness is too much and giving up seems all we have left. Lift our spirits, encourage us, remind us you are near. Our prayer quilts, lovingly crafted, pieced together, and sewed, are hung today for Elsie and Jan. May they each feel the prayers said and tied for them this day, knowing you are with them in their trials. In Psalm 46, you tell us you are a safe place to hide, ready to help us when asked. Now, calm our racing thoughts as we come to you silently with our prayers. Lord, as you have taught us, or hear us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
May I ask the ushers? Church, you are a living testimony of God's abounding grace. Your faithfulness is a reflection of your faith, and your generosity is an expression of your love to God, to the church, and to the ministry. May God continue to bless you as you continue to bless the church. Amen.
Good morning. I'm here this morning to talk to you about missions and how you can get involved. So next Sunday, the first Sunday in May, we will be having a mission fair. So lots of folks will be in the community room to meet with you and tell you about the missions going on in our church. And as your communications director and your mission and justice engagement director, I wanted to tell you about the resources we have on our website. So here on this home screen, you can see our website. If you scroll down, you can see lots of upcoming events, and you can click on those and learn more about them. You can also go up to Connect, Missions and Outreach. We're going to jump over to that tab, and you'll see here we have mission signups. So if you ever want to know what's going on with missions, you can click Mission Signups, and that takes you to our Signup Genius. This is something we started about 6 months ago, and this tab, Mission Opportunities, will give you all these different things that are coming up that you can sign up for. So CAS Volunteer Sundays, we just had Earth Day Cleanup, Fish and Loaves, Juvenile Lifers is a newer mission going on at the church you may have heard about, where you can sign up to send a book to someone serving a life sentence who was sentenced as a juvenile. And then this fall, we have NOAA lunches coming up. And our monthly events are St. Andrew's Breakfast and CAS Social Services in Detroit. So I just wanted to give you a quick overview of that. I'm going to jump back over to our missions page. So it starts with upcoming events, and then it goes into our local missions, all kinds of different things going on here, and then our national missions and church and society. This fall we have Redbird Mission coming up, and then our international missions, including our new relationship with a General Board of Global Ministries missionary, Dr. Tende Manyeza. And lots of things going on there. Days for Girls is an ongoing outreach. We are sending this month a shipment to Liberia with the Days for Girls information. So come next Sunday. Let me jump over to the mission fair so you can see that. We'll see you next Sunday, May 3rd, at the Mission Fair in Brighton. If you are coming from our Whitmore Lake campus, we welcome you to come after your service, if you like, just to learn more about all the missions going on there. Thanks very much.
Let us pray. Lord of all creation, we bring these offerings to you today. Bless them and use them in the ministry of this church so that we will know you and love you and serve you better. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we close this service, this is the end of our three-week sermon series about caring for God's good creation. Next week, we'll be starting a new sermon series about the moments in Scripture where God asks us to follow in God's footsteps, to tear pages from Jesus's book. We'll be offering opportunities for all of us to say yes to God's call on our life, and so we invite you to join us. Next week is a special Sunday. We will be confirming 5 confirmands during our confirmation service next week, and so we are eager and excited about that. So as you depart from this place, I pray you do your homework, that you go out and watch some part of creation, that you take a moment to read through the social principles of our United Methodist Church, especially the section on creation care, caring for the community of all creation. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord and caring for this beautiful gift that we all have inherited. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with 2 locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our 2 locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.